Hi, and welcome to Crypto Made Easy. I'm Andrew. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Today, I want to give you all the tools you're going to need to trade peer-to-peer. Steps, tricks, safety, payment methods, the lot. Now, the reason for this, over the last few weeks, I've been approached by a few people in the crypto world. They're just not confident in diving into peer-to-peer trades because it's different from centralized exchanges, I suppose. I've also spent some time talking to my mate CryptoMentor99 on Skype. He started doing some recordings on YouTube, videos of peer-to-peer trades that he's doing, so you can check them out too, CryptoMentor99 on YouTube. But before we jump into the peer-to-peer pit, reminder, I am not a financial advisor. Any information received on Crypto Made Easy is not financial or investment advice. Please do your own research. All right, now I want to let everyone know that whatever I explain or reference in the show tonight will be in regards to sort of the local CoinSwap platform. That's what I use. I'm familiar with it. I want to keep it familiar and stick to things that I know and keep it straightforward. Also, any sort of banking details or anything like that for payments and so on, I'm going to be referencing what I know, which is Australia. So sorry to you guys overseas. I don't know how your banking systems and payment methods work. So we'll stick with the Australian way and you'll have to do your own research to work out how your country works. What is peer-to-peer? Well, simply, person-to-person, trading between two parties. So how does an exchange come into it? That's a P3. Well, you need a platform to post, buy and sell ads. You also need things like escrow systems, dispute resolution, and on and off ramps for your payment systems and currencies. So you need that exchange in place for your own safety, really. And I can't develop. Most of you guys probably can't either. Someone has to do it. How does it work? All right, let's say I'm in the market to buy some Bitcoin. I would head to the exchange and simply search for Bitcoin, then the location and payment method. I'll go further into payment types and all of that a little later. I would just have a look for a trade that fits the criteria of my purchase and initiate the trade. The seller will receive a notification, and within the trade, there's a private chat message service, so you can chat about the trade. Like myself, people have trade conditions mainly for safety, so things like bank transfers and Skrill and TransferWise might require a selfie with some photo ID in the payment, paying account's name, sorry. Or you can ask questions, you know, about everything that's going to happen during this trade. People are pretty good when it comes to newer things like peer-to-peer trading. Everyone's pretty keen to help. Once you've agreed, the seller will accept the trade and send the buyer the account details. From this point, the crypto is automatically put into escrow. Side note, for the person that places the ad, don't accept the trade before ID check if required and payment method is agreed, as your crypto will be in escrow and a dispute will have to be raised if you would like to release it, if you know the payment doesn't go through. Or you I've recently had some trades where, you know, they've got the location and the currencies mixed up. If you accept the trade, that crypto gets locked away, so get it all sorted out in the chat before you go ahead with accepting the trade. Next, the buyer pays the amount and clicks the paid tab in the trade. This notifies the seller you have made the transaction. They can then look for the funds to clear their account. Once the funds have cleared, now I will repeat that, once the funds have cleared, the seller clicks the payment received and automatically the crypto is then released from escrow and into your wallet. The trade is complete. Easy. Now, don't forget to rate the other person you're trading with. If it all goes smoothly, leave a comment. It's really important to have ratings in peer-to-peer trading in crypto for trust and safety. So, good idea to leave good feedback. It's no different to eBay. Now, I'll talk about some different payment methods and how they work and, you know, just the common ones, ones I've used. So, bank transfers, TransferWise, PayPal we'll talk about, Skrill, cash deposits, cash in person. They're all, you know, come into different amounts of risk with your trade. They also vary in cost and so on. So I'll start off with bank transfer. Nice and simple, bank to bank. Time, up to 3 days. Ridiculous, but, you know, they're banks. Look, personally, I ask for ID on this one, just to avoid chargebacks. Yes, banks do chargebacks. yeah, just a safety net for yourself, really. Now, transfer-wise, Skrill, Neteller, etc., are all, you know, relatively much the same thing. A borderless bank. What does that mean? Well, I have TransferWise, and what it allows me to do is hold bank accounts in a number of countries. Currently, I have AUD, USD, Euro, British Pound, Indian Rupee, and all of these are on my phone. And they all have their own bank numbers. So you can not only just use TransferWise for TransferWise transactions, you can use it for bank transfers because it is a bank. So it might say AUD, bank transfer, in the ad, and you're in the USA with US dollars. Well, you can open a free AUD account and send and receive AUD to that account. You're given a normal bank number. So even the ad saying banking, bank transfer, you can use TransferWise. I hope that sort of makes sense. Times vary. I found if local bank to TransferWise or the other way around, it's up to 3 days, mainly due to the banks trading your dollars before you get it. I haven't had it take that long. I think the longest has been 48 hours. TransferWise to TransferWise, almost instant worldwide. It's not long at all. So, yeah, they're handy, the borderless banks, as a payment method. They really are. Next up, cash deposit. So, not sure about the rest of the world, but in Australia, you can do it a couple of ways. You can take your fiat cash to certain ATMs with your details for the person you're paying, the bank details, and put the cash into the ATM and deposit straight into the account. It is instant. They will get notified straight away if they've, you know, got the notification set up. The other way you can do it is walk into the bank and deposit it the old school way. Not too many people do that anymore. As I said, it is instant. I don't really see a reason to ask for ID here. It's fiat cash and instant, so no funds, no release crypto, simple. Great if you're in the same country and, you know, live miles away like most of us do here in Australia. Which brings me to cash in person. So disclaimer, please be careful trading in person. I'm 100 kilos and can handle myself pretty well when I have to. I wouldn't do cash in person with a stranger. If I had done a few good trades before and chatted with them, maybe I'd consider it. But if, you know, if I know them, yeah, fair enough. Chatted to them on Telegram or something, fine. But total strangers, you know, there's been a lot of cases that haven't ended well. So keep that in mind. Finally, I did talk about the last episode. It was PayPal. I had a bit of a stab at PayPal. Let's have another one. High fees, to begin with. I don't like that. I would only ever consider using PayPal with people I know personally. Friends, family, etc. As the reason being, if you get chargebacks and dispute it, PayPal do not support crypto, and you lose full stop. Keep it to people you know. Keep it safe. Now, let me add this as well. This isn't really about PayPal, but it applies to all third-party payments. Most of the methods we will require a reference number or a name, you know, what the transaction's about. I strongly advise not to say crypto or the crypto ticker or the name of the coin. Do it in the chat. Talk to the person that you're trading with and say, I'm gonna call it goods. I'm gonna call it materials. You know, product, whatever. Banks have been known to reject payments because crypto has been written in the description. This next topic, I think, sort of turning people away from peer-to-peer trading, maybe. It's the pricing. And how do you find a fair deal? So on face value, peer-to-peer ads appear more expensive to buy, right? Mostly no. It's in fact less than what you may pay on a centralized exchange when you consider these things. Fiat, on and off, on a centralized exchange, incur fees. Amounts vary, but you will be charged. Then when your fiat is available and you buy, say, Bitcoin, you pay a trade fee again. They vary, but between, you know, 0.1 and 0.5. Sorry, 0.1 and 5% are charged. Then if you decide to move the Bitcoin to, say, another wallet or to buy something, you'll be charged a transfer fee plus the transaction fee. Transfer fee is anywhere from, you know, 0.001 of a Bitcoin to 0.009 of one. So just for the privilege of moving your funds. So roughly total fees on a transaction can be from 1% to 7% on one transaction through a centralized exchange with your on and off ramps, etc. Now, depending on your payment method, as third party, you know, can incur some fees, but I don't use any that do. The fees on, say, local CoinSwap are 1% charged to the market maker, meaning the person placing the ad, buy or sell. That's it. Now, if you decide to move your funds, you only pay the cost of the transaction. That's it. So when you actually calculate what you're paying on a centralized exchange, if you look at the peer-to-peer market and it's advertised for, say, 5% higher than market price, in some cases, that's a better deal than what you'll pay on a centralized exchange. And if you can now see how easy it is to work that out and do the math, peer-to-peer is a good way to put a little in the pocket on the side on your trades too, done correctly. There are simple ways to calculate it. There's conversion apps, etc. But I can tell you from experience, peer-to-peer trades, I always opt for first. It's definitely a smarter way of buying and selling crypto. If you actually do the sums, it is a no-brainer. Now, granted, some people will post ads for ridiculous prices on some coins. But if nobody bites, they'll soon go away. So, you know, it happens in the beginning, but it'll disappear. So things to remember, safe trading. Don't leave yourself open. It's okay to ask for ID checks. Always leave feedback, good or bad. Look at the payment options. They can mean more than what you think. PayPal, only if you know the person. Some payment methods take time. That's fine. Your crypto is safely in escrow. Think about all the fees when you're comparing prices. But most importantly, have fun. Yes, have fun. Peer-to-peer is a really fun way to trade and chat to people that, you know, you've got a common interest with in crypto. Great way to network at the same time, really. Now, I want to share an experience I had with one of the big Australian banks recently, just to highlight how anti-crypto and only care about their own universe. So being self-employed, I have multiple Fiat payments going to my bank account a day. Now, in Australia, after the first time, same bank transfers almost instant, and cross banks up to 3 days. So in reality, no improvements have been made in the banking sector since 1975. It still takes 3 days to process a payment. Quick dig. I digress. I receive a payment from a regular customer for materials to start the job. Now, he sent me a remittance advice that was paid, so being the same bank, I thought, no longer than an hour. Well, about 6 hours later, still no payment. So I sent him a message. I said, do you want to just check your bank, make sure that payment hasn't bounced back, nothing at my end? So regular payer, so usually instant. He replied, no, hasn't, and the dollars have left my account. I thought, okay, I'll give it till the morning, you know, I'll give him a day. So the next day, sure enough, no dollars. So on the phone I went. Now, I'm not a fan of banks full stop. So if I can be a pain in the ass for a bank, I will be. Anyway, cutting a long conversation short, I asked if I could please have an update on the whereabouts of the payment and proceeded to give him the details of both parties, myself and my client, the transaction details from the remittance. And after numerous excuses as to why it could not be traced, a transaction that is between two accounts at the same bank, I started to question the integrity and honesty of the bank and pointed out that blockchain was an open source ledger and requires confirmation for legitimacy, making it the only true digital currency. Well, after a moment of silence, he replied, "The banking sector does not participate in scams or Ponzi schemes." Just think about that for a second. I almost fell off my chair with laughter. I said, "What did you say?" He didn't reply. He followed it up with, "The reason I couldn't have the transaction traced is because the ledger needs to be checked off first." I said, "Pardon?" He said, "The ledger needs to be checked off first. We're talking about a bank that clear profits $13 billion a year. The ledger has to be checked first." My quite parting question to the banker was, sorry, not question, it was more of a comment. Best thing you should do is get active job hunting. Blockchain will make you and your job redundant. Good luck. Hung up the phone. As for the funds, you wouldn't believe it. In my account in 5 minutes after hanging up that phone. Amazing, isn't it? Moral of the story. Banks are professional conmen, fraudsters, and liars. Stuck in the 1900s. Oh, I forgot. They're thieves too. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, CryptoMadeEasy2, and on Telegram, the CryptoMadeEasy chat. I'm also on the local CoinSwap Telegram channel. Peer-to-peer trading is a massive part of the future for crypto, so get involved. And if you want, I'll answer any of your questions on those platforms that I've just mentioned, local CoinSwap chat and the CryptoMadeEasy chat. Reach out, I'm happy to help. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Till next episode. Talk soon.